Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
You've got to respect the ball.
Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Oh, you've got to love your rugby league.
Sunday Sin Bin.
Welcome everybody, and of course we're 1 week of the grand final. Rabbitohs taking on Penrith, and this show is brought to you by Sea-Doo. Discover why it's Australia's number one choice in personal watercraft. We love the Sea-Doo. Want to keep them on board because we love those guys. We love the old Sea-Doo. It's James Triceps Hooper, Gordon Tallis Maroon, and joining us for the last hour, the great James Graham. How are you, Jimmy?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Not too bad. Good afternoon. Good to be here again.
Another week of COVID lockdown with the kiddies. What have you done to entertain the kids this week?
We've been on a couple of bushwalks, and that is about it. I think I know every trail in the local area. So, yeah, becoming an expert in survival and how to trail. Yeah, very good.
Yeah, well, I mean, hopefully by October 11 we start sort of fanning away from all of this, but that's probably a chat for later on.
I never thought I'd say this, but I'm actually missing schoolwork for them.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, our eldest who's in kindergarten, because they're on school holidays, it's a bit like, well, you know, they've not sent any work home. It's like, well, now we really have to entertain them, don't we? So, challenging, but we're doing okay.
But do you have a big backyard?
Moderate.
Because I know my youngest, Jimmy James, when he was growing up, we had a big backyard. We used to live in another joint, and we'd get out there and play footy, and he'd like to pretend he was Billy Slater, you know, and I'd just run around with him for an hour or two, mate. Then he'd cark it. He'd just crash out on the lounge.
Yeah. You know? Well, that's what the bushwalks do for the two little ones that completely cream crackered after it. So yeah.
I'm only asking you this, mate, to give Hoops some ideas on what to do with his kids, because he's just leaving them on the lounge, mate, aren't you?
No, mate. You got to get them out and about. Yeah. You got to get them out and about. We've been doing a lot of bike rides over the Anzac Bridge, around the fish markets, around the Glebe foreshore, all that sort of thing. The local parks, copper hammering. Get the footy out, get the student down there.
Yeah. Little bloke across the road from me, Tom Keane, he's seven. He's broke his jaw in the school holidays, and now he tells me he's got to have pureed food for a month.
How did he do it?
Well, he was riding the BMX or the scooter or something, came off.
Right.
So wear your helmets, kids. Wear your helmets.
What would your go-to puree food be?
Oh, you couldn't puree a kebab.
No. Huh? No, you couldn't. That is true.
Yeah. What would you suggest? Some...
Asahi bowl?
Asahi bowl.
They're good.
They're healthy. Blueberry or whatever.
Probably go with that for breakfast. Porridge.
No, but we're talking about pureeing a proper meal. Like, you know.
You're going to throw your kebab in the blender.
Yeah,
aren't you?
Throw a kebab in or a Big Mac.
Oh.
You know, or a T-bone. Something like that. You know.
Isn't there a show, Does It Blend?
There is a show.
Yeah, Does It Blend?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Drop a part of your anatomy in and see. But anyway, let's talk about yesterday's game. Melbourne Storm and Penrith. How did you see it, Jimmy Graham?
Oh, mate, it was another great finals game. Isn't it crazy what sport can do to you? A grown adult and I'm standing up. Like, why do I stand up? Isn't it weird that it makes you do that? When it starts to get exciting, you just raise and you're just standing in anticipation of what could happen next. But yeah, so many talking points. Such a great game of football. Two teams that were obviously so desperate to win, and it meant so much to them. That first try from Penrith, like, wow.
Yeah.
What a play. I think for me, the way the Penrith team celebrated that try, it looked like it was cooked on the training ground, and they saw something in Melbourne. Obviously, they like to jam on that try line, almost go early, really stop the ball getting to the edge. And obviously the execution is incredibly difficult to be able to do that, but it looked like something they'd planned to say, if we're in this position, we'll take Appy will take a scoot. We'll get them if they're short for numbers, because Cleary actually sprinted across two players to get to dummy half in order to put the kick in. It was, and you could just see what it meant there. you know, the 18th and 19th man who were ball boys. They were jumping over Creighton, I think it was. So, yeah, great play. Yeah, and what about the start from Penrith as well? Oh, Pangai Jr. didn't get too many minutes, but he really came to play. I really liked the start of Penrith, that intention to really take it to the Melbourne Storm forwards. And obviously, them losing Christian Welsh and Brandon Smith really didn't help their cause, but they hung on in there. They found a way. They still created opportunities. And, you know, in that last sort of 10 minutes, you know, Penrith were clinging on for dear life. Yeah. And, you know, it was strange. They almost stopped playing a little bit. There was a scrum play that they had, and their best attacking player, in my opinion, Jerome Luai, actually packed in the back row, which I thought was strange. And I just thought, oh, no, they're going to stop playing here, and Melbourne are going to do a Melbourne and pluck this out of nowhere and come back. But, yeah, I think you've got to give a credit to all 34 players and the two coaches for the entertainment that they put on. It was, you know, at halftime, you just didn't want it to stop. Some of the desperation, that Scott Sorensen chase back, like, wow. Mm. I think, you know, if you look at that moment and you think the difference between going in at halftime from 6-0 to potentially 6-6 or 6-4, what a big play from him. And there was just so many moments. Capewell, there was a moment he was in at marker and they nearly got stretched and he just ties in and he makes the tackle on Pappenhausen. It was brilliant to watch. It really was. It was a sensational game, and credit to all 34 players and the two coaches that were in the coaches' box. It was a great advert for our sport.
I don't normally miss opportunities. Jennings drops the ball with the line open, and that's pressure. Yeah. So Melbourne were feeling pressure because of the way Penrith were defending, and I just wish when Dale Finucan runs that decoy and Big Nelson and Sofa Solomona comes off the field and he's fresh, his first carry, he knocks him over, then he hits that ball 5 minutes. I just would have loved to have seen whether they could have stopped him, because that would have been courage, and he just ends up jumping over, but he got taken out. If Sorensen doesn't get taken out of there, I tell you what, he's got to bite down on the mouth guard to even try to stop him.
Yeah, even if Dale just tempos his run a little bit, you think, you know,
he didn't even need to run a decoy.
He really didn't need to run a decoy. But that happens sometimes. Big Nelson was impressive off the bench. Like, geez. He is one hell of a player to bring on. Like, you know, when you're in the trenches and you're working as hard as Penrith did, and then bang, after 20 minutes or whatever it was, he comes on like, oh, cheers, thanks for this. So, but yeah, it was interesting to see Bellamy after the game as well. You know, he saying that he can't be critical of his team, and I thought, it was refreshing to hear him that way. And obviously the journey that they've been on for the 2 years, and credit to them. And I think obviously, you know, most of them have been away from Melbourne for 2 years, and for him to, even though, you know, this back-to-back premierships was on the line, for him to go into that mode publicly, especially, credit to him for doing that when, you know, the performance wasn't up to Melbourne standard, you know, the errors weren't up to Melbourne standard that we've come accustomed to, but yeah, credit to him for speaking so positively about the journey that they've been on as a group.
They'll be rueing some of those missed opportunities that Gordy touched on earlier. And as much as Craig was stoic and terrific the way that he handled the media last night, I think in the fullness of time, and when they do debrief on the game, because it's Melbourne and because of the success that they have had, they'll see it as a missed opportunity. They were red-hot favourites to make another grand final, and no doubt that forensically over the summer they'll go through where they need to get better.
Yeah, even that hoops as well. Hughes kicking it out on the full. I know Cleary got one as well, but it's just...
Well, they made 15 errors in total for the game, which is very un-Melbourne-like.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see, looking back, when was the last time they actually made so many errors. There were some things that you don't see the Melbourne team do. Yep. You really don't.
Didn't you think, James, that when Christian Welsh, like, he was out, he was off, he was gone, and then Brandon Smith, didn't you think, were you thinking, well, they're gone here, or were you thinking, no, they can come back and win this?
You never, ever, ever write off the Melbourne Storm. And obviously losing two quality players and the effect of the interchange that it would have had, I imagine most coaches going with an interchange plan and a bit of a backup plan should you lose one or two, but it's not the desired situation by any stretch. But, yeah, credit to them for hanging on in there. And really, if you... you know, if you're looking at that game and you're in the sort of the 70th minute when Pappenhausen scores the try and you go, well, which team would you rather be now in at 10-6? I think I'd rather be Melbourne coming home, but credit to Penrith, they just did enough to hang in there. And yeah, I was never ever comfortable. If you're a Penrith fan, you weren't comfortable until that final hooter went and the ball was dead and Penrith were off and celebrating.
Losing Welsh was massive at that stage of the game because, as we've seen over the course of the last couple of seasons, he does a terrific job at trying to nullify Nathan Cleary's influence in terms of his kicking game. And so that really did upset Melbourne's rhythm in terms of they would have gone in with a clear plan to try and limit Nathan's time with the ball. But losing Welsh was big. And then Smith off the back of it as well. You know, it's very hard in a game of that magnitude to suffer losses to those quality of players.
Because that's what I was going to say, fellas. Like, you blokes, obviously, James or Gordy, for you blokes that have been out there, when you know you've lost two key players, you're down to 15 players, maybe it rattled Melbourne a bit. Maybe that's where a lot of the errors come from.
Yeah, potentially. And also, if you're one of those middle forwards, automatically, when you see a guy, well, two middle forwards go down and a guy like Welsh that plays big minutes and a guy like Brandon Smith that plays big minutes, you know automatically, you're not only are you going to have to take over their assignments, like the kick pressure on Cleary, but also, which require a huge amount of effort and energy and take a lot out of your petrol tank, but also you're going to have to play longer. So your stints are going to go longer. So you're in two minds. It's like, do I take over Welsh's responsibility of being the kick pressure guy? But also, I'm going to have to conserve my energy here because instead of playing 20 minutes, I've now got to do 30. So it's a sort of catch 22. What do you do? Do you take over his assignment or you save your energy because you know you're going to have to go longer than you've normally done or what you've normally expected to do?
But I reckon that's the coach's fault these days because, you know, they should just be playing, Jimmy. If I'm coaching you, I say, mate, let me know how your gas is going. Why pull you off at, you know, I mean, because now I had the 20-minute mark, we've got to do this because of their control of the game that, you know, coaches want to always be in full control and think, oh, well, this here and, you know, we pull him off at the 20-minute mark and this, and we want fresh people on. I would be letting my players go for as long as they can and they let me know for that moment and then, and then when you need them down the track, and Jimmy mightn't have, you know, I mean, and the game might be going pretty good and, you know, you feel like your tank's full and you think you can play the first 40 minutes. Then you have a break at halftime and he says, mate, keep on going. I don't get changing someone for the sake of changing someone.
No, I agree with you, Gordon, and no doubt a lot of teams would do that. And with certain forwards, you can do. You can have them look. You tell me, I've had that relationship with certain coaches before where it's like, no, you let me know when you're gone and we'll get you off. So it could be anywhere between the 20-minute mark, it could be half time. You just let me know. And I think with certain forwards, you can do that. But if you look at a guy like Nelson, like, you know, the big guy is going out of the game. But what Melbourne do so well is that we can accommodate him because we've got so many workers around him. So a guy like Nelson, you know, you do need people around him for him to be as effective as he is. And I just feel like, you know, it was a credit to Melbourne to stay in the contest, losing two middle forwards like they did. Like, when you look at that situation, they'd never look at it as an excuse, but it was a tremendous effort for them to stay in the fight and still be only 4 points away on the 79th minute mark.
All right, boys, we'll take a break and shortly we'll be joined by Brendan Cowell to talk about his new book, Plum, which is a book about an ex-NRL player battling with the repercussions or the after effects of some nasty head knocks. But it's a great story, a great book. It's called Plum. We're going to speak to the author, Brendan Cowell, next as Triple M Rocks the Footy.
Triple M Rocks the Footy, the Sunday sin bin for Sea-Doo. Susie sells seashells by the seashore. Get on board a Sea-Doo and discover why it's Australia's number one choice in personal watercraft.
This guy is an Australian actor. He's an author. He's a philanthropist and all-round good guy. He's a personal friend of a lot of us here at Triple M. Brendan Cowell, welcome to the Sunday Sin Bin.
G'day, Maroon. Great to be here, mate. I'm just coming home from Riverdance, Riverlight.
Oh, yeah. River Life or River Dance?
Both of them. I think it was a double bill.
Michael Flatley.
Wouldn't it be Liver Dance?
Nah, just kidding.
Yeah, mate, that's it. Yeah, how's it going?
Very good, mate. Now, we've got you on to talk about your wonderful new book, Plum, which I'm about three quarters of the way through. Just to give everybody a quick brief of what it's about, Plum is Peter Lum, who is an ex-Sharkies player who had a career with the Sharkies, a couple of years in the UK, and now he is suffering the effects of the concussions and, you know, 13 or 14 seasons playing top-level rugby league. He's now got a young fella playing in the Sharkies system, and this is all based around the Shire, so if you're in that part of the world, you'll really relate. Can you elaborate on what I've just said?
Yeah, mate, no, that's beautifully put. Basically, yeah, it tells the story of 49-year-old Peter the Plum Lum, who was kind of a Gavin Miller figure, like a kind of ball-playing forward, and, you know, he didn't go up to the commentary box or into the media afterwards. He went to work at Qantas and pulling planes out onto the tarmac, and then one day he has an accident, has an epileptic fit on the tarmac and nearly drags a plane into another plane. Is, you know, later discovers he's got a degenerative brain disease as a result of the way that he played, and that he has to change his life, which includes, you know, not having those 4 to 14 schooners every afternoon with his three mates at the Casbar Inn in Caringbar and going hell for leather because he only really knows one way in life. And that sets off a kind of journey of discovery, and because his brain's opening, he starts working at a pub in security where there's a poetry night, and he starts getting into kind of writing things down and inventory and goes on a bit of a journey of self-discovery to kind of heal the relationships of his life. And it kind of looks at, you know, the second chapter of life for athletes, like after you finish footy, what do you do? And so Plum tries to change, and we all know change is hard, especially when you're an Australian male. So it's kind of about that second crack at life as an ex-athlete.
Mm. And I said, like for a lot of blokes my age, I said this to you on the phone before, for a lot of people my age, it's a little bit like a Robert G. Barrett book, but with a genuine story or a genuine meaning or reason for it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's got some issues underneath it, but it's definitely not an issues book. It's a story of a man. It's very funny. It's you know, it's got that Aussie glint in the eye, and it's kind of very relatable about fathers and sons and male friendships. And, you know, we're there at the pub and we're talking shit and we're putting a punt on, but are we there for each other when push really comes to shove? And it's kind of about him going, you know what, I'm not gonna keep following the same path of my dad. I want to turn up for my son. But he also, you know, his son, Gavin, who's 16, he's kind of a lanky 5'8", and he's obsessed with footy. And he goes to the game, and because of what he's finding out about his brain, that his brain is as soft as a plum, he suddenly looks at his son playing going, God, is this what I want my son to be doing? Which kind of freaks him out. So it's a big time for Peter Lum, but he's a lovable, charming man, as most footy players are, you know, that I've discovered anyway. So that's kind of where we set our scene. But, yeah, it's a classic Aussie novel style. I agree with you in that way, Anthony.
Yeah, all the good suburbs get a mention, Cronulla and San Susie. Yes, Gordy.
Hey, Brendan, talk about having a go, mate. What do you think about your beloved Sharkies next year? They've recruited well?
Yeah, mate, well, I don't want to get too carried away, but I think we'll win the comp. you know, Nicho Hynes, his passes are as good-looking as his face, really. And then I think the medal, you know, that little bit of steel that we need in the middle is Dale Finucane coming out of the Storm system will just be unreal, especially in the gym, just... Because we've got some real panache. We've got some great players. I think we just need some smart heads, and we need some points in the halves, which we haven't had. Like, we had Sean Johnson, but he's injured more than he is, you know, with the ball in hand. And so I think those two purchases are great. And then, you know, coming out of Trent Robinson's camp is Fitzgibbon as the coach. So it's really good. And I think that premiership window shut. The last one, and I think the new one opens next year.
Hey, Brendan, it's Jimmy Graham here. Back to the book, mate. Just curious as to how much research you would have done, and did you speak to any past or present football players when you were doing your research?
Yeah, because I when I was writing it, which was in lockdown in London last year, you know, I was in my Notting Hill basement flat, which had rats in it for 5 months. I got the virus, and I thought I'd write a book, you know, and And it was just coming out about Boyd Cordner, and you were being quite erudite in the media about it and in rugby union and soccer. And I'm mates with Andrew Johnson. He was incredibly erudite and really generous with me about concussions and seizures. And I spoke to Chris Levi, the neuroscientist that he works with from Spear, and a few other players that I won't drag into the press, but who were just really beautiful about their experiences. And Ian Roberts read the book recently, and he said, it's absolutely what it's like, especially with the post concussion seizures and episodes and stuff, because I don't want to take on an issue that's so sensitive and so controversial without getting it right, because that's, I'm an actor. Like, what do I know? I ran into a couple of other, actors and pylons in my time, but you know what I mean? Like, I was playing footy at 16. I swapped physical pain of footy for the emotional pain of the arts, so I don't really know about concussions. But Joey was amazing. And so he gets a thank you in the book, and he was a really big part of it.
Okay, well, mate, when's the book out, and where do we get it?
Mate, the book is out this Wednesday. It's published this Wednesday, which is really, really exciting. Across the country, ideally we wouldn't be in the COVID and everybody could walk past the bookshop, but hopefully it won't be too long. So basically you can get it online, or you can go to your favourite bookshop and say, hey, I want to order it in. Or wait a week and a half and walk past your favourite bookshop and jump in there and get it. It's, it's for people that love books and people that love footy, and I hope it can kind of cross that divide into sports people and also, the literary people, because it's kind of about the fact that it's okay to be someone who's a bit creative and sensitive, and it's okay to love footy and sport as well as an Australian male.
Now, mate, before you go, what else is going on in your life? I know you're an Avatar.
I've been shooting Avatar in New Zealand, in Wellington, for the past 2 or 3 years, which has been really exciting. So I've got a little bit to do on that next year or the year after. So that's been amazing. I'm playing a pirate called Captain Mick Scoresby. I'm a bad pirate. And you know me a bit, Maroon, so you can see the typecasting that goes on for that role. But so it's been unreal, and just great to be back in Australia and watching the footy. And I'm writing a couple of TV shows, and I got a little acting gig with Foxtel at the end of the year, so I'll be hanging around.
All right, mate, good to hear from you, and the best of luck with Plum, because as I say, I'm 3/4 of the way through it and I love it.
Oh, thanks so much. Thanks for chatting to me, guys.
Good on you, mate. Brendan Cowell joining us on the Sunday Sin Bin. Thanks to our mates at Sea-Doo with James Graham, Triceps Hooper, Gordon Tallison, Maroon. We might take a break, come back and put this thing back toward the NRL Grand Final. It's Triple M Rocks the Footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M Rocks Footy.
Welcome back. Before we take off at 4 o'clock, the boys will have a preview of who they think will win the NRL Grand Final and why. Right now, we'll do this. And thanks to Apricity Finance, turn your workflow into cash flow with an invoice finance facility from Apricity Finance, 1-300-APRICITY. Here is the Raging Bull.
My Raging Bull this week, it was sort of running, and there's not a lot around at the moment, Anthony, because there's obviously two teams left. But mine's about, I don't know how Wayne Bennett keeps on conning the media. Mm-hmm. He's just a master at it. And straight after they have a victory, going to a grand final when I never thought South was going to get there, with all the history with, if you lose by 50, you don't win, and halfway through the year, well, I thought South Sydney were probably out of the race, and it was down to maybe two or three sides. And then straight after they win, he starts talking about his exit from the Broncos.
Yeah.
And he's just a master. And then all week, it's not going to be about the game. It's going to be about, poor Wayne Bennett and what the Broncos did. And I just don't get how the media keep on taking his dummies and his sucker and not asking him, has Cody got the monkey off his back? What about Latrell Mitchell? Do your forwards have it to beat Penrith? Like, they just get mesmerised. There's no footy questions getting thrown about Wayne Bennett that he's got to answer to put pressure on him. He is going to play him off a break again this week. It'll all be about Wayne. It'll be about the Broncos. It'll be about Pormey. It'll be about his next coaching job. It'll be about something else. It'll be about Benji Marshall, someone that can handle it. And I just, he is a master at it. He's been doing it for, I'd say, 20 years at least to the high level that he does do it. And I just don't know how they don't pull him up on it. Hoops, you're a, mate, you're a journalist that has sat there, and I'm sure you would have asked Wayne 1,000 questions in your time. How does he keep on snookering you guys?
Well, as you pointed out, Gordon, he plays the public relations game better than anybody. Wayne's a genius at how to handle the media. He knows how to bowl flippers, throw off, take the attention and the pressure away from his side in a big game and make it more about him and something else that he is a road that he's happy to go down. So he's a genius at doing it.
Yeah, but the Broncos, that was 3 years ago.
Yeah, I know. I must say, I was surprised when those questions were all getting raised.
And he left it, and they swapped coaches, and he walked into arguably a better roster, and then obviously Sam and GI and all that have to retire. But he was going to a pretty good roster.
Yes.
You know, and a side that was there, and he had to rebuild a little bit, and he got Jai Arrow and got a few other younger guys there to fill Sam's role. And but he still does it. He brings up something that happened 3 years ago, and that's the headline.
I think that's it, though, Gordy. Like, most people look at what he said yesterday and was like, oh, look at him. He just can't help but give Brisbane Broncos a little jab. Like, you know? And that's the headline. And it is, mate, it is so smart because we know about the pressure, and we know that players will read every newspaper and every column that's going on this week. They can't avoid it. It's all over social media. But that will be what they read. And it's, mate, it's genius that they'll read about their coach, and it's not about, you know, the things that you mentioned. It's genius, mate. It really is. And
the first question asked Ivan Cleary, oh, mate, what is it? You're taking on Wayne Bennett this week.
Yeah.
They ask him about Wayne. Like, it's a circus, but I love it because it just keeps on entertaining me.
Mm. And here he is, one win away from another. And what is this? His 10th grand final appearance, I think.
Oh, is it?
It's amazing,
so,
isn't it?
So the Raiders in 87.
Yeah, and then?
And then Broncos
92, 93, 98, Dragons. 97.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, well, hang on. 87, 92, 93, 97, 98.
That's 7-8.
2010 and 2015. So
Rocket Industry should have done your homework.
Mate,
here,
well, you could.
6 grand finals with the Broncos, isn't it? Or have they played 7? How many have Brisbane played?
Well, he's 2015. He was at Brisbane as well.
We've sent this to the Trivia Tribunal over in Geneva.
Guys, right? I could listen. He's put me on the spot here. I could work it out. 87 Canberra, 92 Brisbane, 93 Brisbane, 97 Brisbane, 98 Brisbane, 2000 Brisbane, 2006 Brisbane, 2010 Dragons, 2015 Brisbane. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's 10.
This is his 10th. Well done, Anthony.
There you go.
That should have been a trivia question.
Boom. That should be in trivia now.
See, mate, that's why you're the trivia
There's
master.
There's no trivia, mate. There's COVID going on, all right? So you've offended me.
Hang on, aren't you on FaceTime Messenger?
Oh, that's Raffles. That's Raffles.
That's Raffles.
Boys, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to ask you blokes who wins the grand final and why as Triple M rocks the footy.
McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy.
We're going to ask the boys about who they think will win the NRL Grand Final. That's James Graham, James Hooper and Gordon Tallis shortly. But last night on the Gold Coast, young Warriors player Reece Walsh was arrested by police on the Gold Coast. Reece Walsh has since made this statement, quote, "I was told by officers last night to move on. I didn't move on, which led to me getting arrested and taken back to the police station. Once I got back to the police station, I was searched and I was in possession of a small bag of cocaine, which I had some of during the night. No one else was involved in this. This is solely on me. I should never have done it. It's a mistake that I've made and I'm aware of that. I'm remorseful and should never have done it." That's the latest on the Reece Walsh thing. I guess you guys will have the latest on that tomorrow night on Fox League. Hoops.
Yep, we always cover all the news, Anthony, so yep.
Okay, boys, let's talk about the grand final. I'll start with you, James, because you haven't had your say yet. Penrith go into this game, slight favourites. Who do you like for the NRL grand final?
Yeah, I hate to do this to South Sydney fans again, but I think I'm going to back Penrith in this one. I think the journey that they've been on the last 2 years, the motivation of that and the hurt that they experienced last year in the grand final, so close, but yet so far, I think we really saw that in their performance yesterday. Look, I know they've had 240 minutes of incredibly intense rugby league football without a break, without any respite, with, you know, the tension that they've been under. I think the story of Cleary, father and son, that's a big one. And I just think Penrith's motivation will just get them over the line. I think they've got some points in them, as do South Sydney. But I just feel that if you're going to split them, I'm going to go with Penrith.
Okay. Hoops and James Graham just touched on it. Going to this game, they've had some hard games to get them to this point, Penrith.
The Panthers, absolutely. Look, that defensive performance yesterday, the way they scrambled for one another and to be able to hold the Melbourne Storm to the scoreline that they did is a reflection of just what a committed side they are at this point in time. I think Jimmy was spot on in terms of clearly there was some scar tissue from last season and the fact that they were in the big dance, but they couldn't get the job done against the Storm. To beat them up there yesterday, it definitely the advantage is tipped in the Panthers' favour at the moment, I think. But the genius of Wayne and what he'll be able to orchestrate out of the Bunnies may well be enough to get Souths the result as well.
I think, look, it's an obvious thing to say, but it's hard to do. You've got to start well. And that's what Penrith did this time against Melbourne.
And that's where Melbourne started.
And that's where Melbourne got them last time. And that's also where South Sydney got them a couple of weeks ago in that first finals game. Penrith were an awful start. They were so ill-disciplined. They had to expend so much energy early on in the piece. In the first 5 minutes, they gave away 2 six-agains on tackle 4 and 5.
Yeah.
So they've learned. You can, well, what yesterday appeared to show is that they've learned from that. And they know they've got to start well. And they'll be talking about that. And then they'll be talking about, okay, well, then Bages and Arrow come on. So we're going to have to handle that. So the plan will be there. But no doubt, they have got to go. They've got to give everything into that start. They really did. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see if Leota's back. And if he is, like, will they keep Panga Jr. there to start? And put it, because I think he only played 10 minutes at the start of the game, maybe, before he came off. I think that's you know, it'd be hard to put Leota onto the bench, but what the start from Panga Jr., just say, mate, just go out there for 10 minutes and just go crazy. Like, it's not a bad tactic.
Okay, we've got both James Graham and Hoops going. Penrith, what about you, Gordy?
Look, it's a tough one. I watched James Fisher-Harris limp around. He hurt his knee in the first tackle of the game, the big collision with Christian Walsh, and then he chases when Jerome Hughes makes that break, and he falls over, like, with no one around him. And coming out after halftime, it looked like he had a bindi in his foot. He was limping. He just couldn't get his knee warm. No, mate, and it was brave. So he was just running, and you could see the pain. And he's a tough guy. You didn't see it on his face. You could see it in his body. So he's going to have to get right. Pangai Jr. limped off. Pangai Jr. hurt his knee when they scored that try. He had strapping like Farlap. Brian Toto looked like he had a work boot on. Like, that's how much strapping was on. So I think there's a few Penrith boys that are injured. It's how busted they are. They've had a couple of really tough weeks. And South Sydney, they have just surprised me every week. And Wayne Bennett is a defensive coach. And this has been a defensive final series. It's been, just throw the baby out with the bathwater, 55 tackles Penrith missed. That wasn't game plan. They just kept on turning up for each other. Some of those tackles, they're just going just in case they're needed. And I think it's a bit like Jimmy. It's going to come down to the start. Who has the ball? Like, and I know it sounds simple and you can't explain it, but it's when you've got the momentum and turning the pressure into points, and South Sydney are really good at that. I think South Sydney have a lot of points in them. If there was a percentage, I'd say Penrith, maybe. Mm-hmm. Penrith, maybe 55% to 45, but it's a cracking,
it's a tough one, isn't it?
You nearly turned me there, Gordy. You nearly turned me, man. I thought you were going to go with
Souths there.
I thought he was going to go with Souths, and you convinced me. You nearly convinced me.
Oh, see?
All right,
that's
boys.
How I got my wife too, Jimmy.
That's just about it for us. Gordy, we'll catch you
and
next week. dear, oh dear.
We're going to do, mate.
We'll catch you on Fox League through the week, and we'll catch you next Sunday
absolutely.
On Triple M.
Absolutely. Can't wait. Grand final week.
You'll be you'll have a heavy role next week too, James Graham.
Heavy.
Heavy role, and in off the interchange bench today, and we'll see you again next Sunday.
Look forward to it, mate.
Now, you don't have the big league wrap tonight, mate, but you're back on Fox League tomorrow.
Yes, Anthony. Finish for the season there, big league wrap.
We'll be back next week with our grand final special. And, of course, Dan will call the grand final for you. Get on board a Sea-Doo and discover why it's Australia's number one choice in personal watercraft. Looking for an escape or an adventure? No passport, no worries. They look after the Sunday sin bin. The guys and girls at Sea-Doo as Triple M rocks the grand final next week.
Triple M's NRL Primetime for Canadian Club. Over beer? Well, Canadian Club wants to stock your fridge. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.